a Kezar to the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick, it's always the 49ers way, from off-season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers cutback podcast time. Alex, today we get into it. Been hearing the calls. Kyle Shanahan's fault. Kyle Shanahan is not calling good offense. Kyle Shanahan needs to go. But today we discuss, is it Kyle Shanahan or is it players' execution?
Correct. And we have all or on the players there, but not like on the players in terms of they suck. We just mean certain plays, certain situations, key downs, key situations. Kyle's calling something. He's putting faith in his guys. And his guys are letting him down a little bit and not executing. We've been kind of on this boat. We were saying this about D'Amico Ryans in the defense. Before everyone went on the, D'Amico Ryans is coaching his butt off. When, you know, week one, week two, week three, when people were calling for D'Amico Ryans' head because he's terrible and he's not Robert Saleh and he's the reason why things aren't going well. You know, we were kind of the ones going, I don't know, yeah. Watching the film. It looks like D'Amico's putting guys in the right spot. And, you know, this doesn't feel like a D'Amico Ryans thing. It feels like an execution thing. Offensively, we've been watching things go in for the past few weeks, and we've been kind of leaning a certain way with this, and we're here with some clips to tell you why. So before we get too far into it, before we get too deep into it, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Let us know right now why you think it's Kyle, right? Why it's on him. It's not on the players. This guy just doesn't know what he's doing. Make those predictions right now. Make those comments down there, and let's see and if we can't debunk some of this. Before we get into the film, though, what have you been seeing game-wise, not all 22 film-wise, but game-wise that's made you put you in the category that you're in, and it's the category that I'm in also? Why are you feeling that way?
Well, I look at some of the favorable matchups, right? You're looking at things like Kyle Shanahan, the way he schemes it up, and it's like you can see sometimes it develop, right? You can see a receiver come open, or you can see a block be missed, where you're like, wait, that would have been a great play call. That would have worked if that guy would have made the play, or if that guy would have been where he's supposed to be. And unfortunately, sometimes the player's not there. But when Kyle Shanahan is scheming it up and calling the plays, and that's why we kind of went into this earlier in the week, is when he's doing that, he's expecting his players to be able to execute the plays that, you know, he can execute or that he draws up. And like we've talked about before, maybe the players aren't able to handle those plays. And if they aren't able to handle it, he's going to have to completely scrap that, get them help, figure out a way to rework it, right? Like if you have a player that struggles with down blocks, you've got to figure out a way to get him help. Yeah, you probably don't want that guy in the field, but you got to figure out a way to get him help so that way you can still make that block. So you're not going to get the same performance and execution and overall gain on that play that you would like. It's going to take away from that, but you have to do that to make sure the play is successful. But what we're finding out is a lot of times it's not even like that. It's just one guy's messing up, and it's causing a chain reaction of things to happen that end up blowing up plays and preventing the 49ers from moving the football and getting key first downs.
You may be sitting there right now going, how could one guy set off a chain reaction? I think, well, when you got guys pulling, other guys moving in space, coming across a formation, a block, and one guy gets blown off of his spot and pushed into the backfield in the middle of a pool lane, well, that can prevent a play from having success. We've seen that a few times. But let's dive into the film in and of itself, right, Ant? Let's get into this thing. And let's start this thing off, Ant. We'll start this thing off with a read option. This is a read option look here for Trey. He has a read to make, okay, based on the formation. You saw a little bit of the movement early there from
Kyle.
Yeah,
he's reading Chandler Jones right there on the left of the screen.
Correct.
Chandler Jones, 55, is the read key on this play.
Absolutely. 55 read key coming from the left side of the screen, right above Ant's head, down in space.
And he's coming down the line. This is a pull. This is an absolute pull read. Alex, you ran read option. You know this as well. We coached for a while. This is an absolute pull read. Trey Lance should pull this ball 1,000 times, especially because look where Hicks is at. And Hicks is also committed to Kyle Juszczyk.
Well, Hicks, right. Hicks is committed to Kyle Juszczyk. And this is what Chandler Jones is doing. He knows this is a read option. He knows what his responsibility is. His responsibility is Trey Lance, but he also knows that if Kyle Juszczyk comes free here and they're able to get this handoff off, there's an opportunity there for a big play if he's responsible for Trey. So he's trying to get his hands on Kyle Juszczyk to slow it down, but he's overcommitted to accomplish that. On top of the fact that Mike McGlinchey is getting beat in the interior there by J.J. Watt, Trey can't see that. So that's not going to be into Trey's decision-making process here. It's 100% the outside guy there. It's 100% Chandler Jones. And Chandler Jones is giving him the pull read. This is the pull read. Pull the ball and run, young fella, run. Unfortunately, he gives. This ends up being a two-yard loss. And all of these clips here, Ant, every single clip that we pulled is from a fourth down, a drive where they don't convert and turn the ball over on fourth downs. This is an early play, first and 10, that ends up leading to the 49ers not able to convert on a fourth down. You get negative 2 yards. Here's the sideline view, Ant.
Yeah, I mean, if he pulls, he's going around the outside for a huge gain, because the one guy that's going to have a chance to run him down is Zaven Collins, because Alex Mack whiffed on him a little bit. But that is the guy that's going to have to run him down. Trey Lance is going to get a major positive gain. The 49ers are going to be ahead of the sticks.
Correct. They're going to be 100% ahead of the sticks, Ant. Unfortunate. You hate to see it. Not on Kyle, though. Execution and scheme-wise, it's there. You had some guys not executing, but that was McGlinchey in the middle. And whether on this situation specifically, it's Trey, right, not getting the pull read, not understanding.
I think you could probably say that Mike McGlinchey didn't make the block that he needed to make.
Correct.
Trey Lance didn't pull like he should have pulled, and Alex Mack didn't block Zaven Collins like he should have blocked him.
Lots of guys not executing.
All three of those guys didn't execute on a play, but that doesn't mean the play call wasn't correct. Because of the numbers and the way the personnel was working, the 49ers had the right play called. It just wasn't executed at the right level.
This is the very next play, and this highlights some of the things that we talked about, right? These quarterback-designed runs, the right box, right situation, and here, great execution from the 49ers.
Yeah, definitely. And look at Trey Lance does a great job of being patient and allowing Daniel Brunskill's pull and to come through and make the block and read the block and get upfield and get extra yards. It's well executed on him. Now, a lot of people are questioning, though, Kyle Shanahan running this play on third down, right? You got 3rd and 7. Why are you running this play?
It's because he's
already predetermined he's going for it on fourth down. If they don't get it, he's trying to make it manageable, but he does believe that this play could possibly garner him that many yards because of the way that the Cardinals are playing defense. They're playing the coverage deep, so he has an opportunity to get there.
Well, and look here. Here's a perfect angle of it right here in space of what you got. And this is great. That's the only thing you want there is Dwelly to do a little bit better job there in space.
You want Dwelly to make the block. If this is George Kittle, we've got a different thing going on here because he's going to get up to the next level and make a block. He's looking around for help, and he could have gotten Buda Baker right here.
Correct. Got to look inside.
Yes.
First
inside
guy
inside is always the guy you look
first
for.
First guy inside,
and okay,
is,
and then
the
here's the fourth down play. And keep an eye on Charlie Warner. He's supposed to block J.J. Watt down. If he blocks J.J. Watt down, then the pull is going to be able to get around the outside. Kyle Juszczyk's going to be able to get around the outside, and this whole play is going to get set up.
If you're sitting here right now going, well, where's J.J. Watt? Okay, so Ant is there on the left side of the screen. Zaven Collins just above Ant there. First guy inside to the right is Zaven Collins. There's J.J. Watt.
Number 99.
Yep, number 99. Charlie Warner.
He's in the C gap.
He's in the C gap. There it is, Ant. This is a coaching terminology for your behind. Oh, goodness gracious, man. You may have just looked at that and been like, okay, well, I don't see what happened there. This looks like just the stuff. Here's what it's hard to see from this angle. You'll get a better angle of it. But watch Lincoln Tomlinson. Okay, watch Lincoln Tomlinson just to the right there of Alex Mack.
He's a left guard.
Left guard. He's going to pull around here, and he is going to make contact with Charlie Warner right there. And this prevents him from getting up into space and taking out Zaven Collins, who makes this play.
Yeah, if he's able to get through, if Warner doesn't get pushed into the pull lane, you'll be able to see it from this angle. If he doesn't get pushed in the pull lane, then Lincoln Tomlinson's able to get cleaner around the edge and get up the field to Zaven Collins, and this is a first down and probably 3 or 4 extra yards for Trey. So you see what Kyle Shanahan is drawing up. The numbers are there. The execution is just not there, and that's unfortunate. Charlie Warner has got to move this guy a little bit more. He's got to have a stronger punch.
Well, here's the thing, right? Charlie Warner just can't get moved back a yard and a half here.
Yeah.
If Charlie Warner stalemates with J.J. Watt at the line, this is a win for the 49ers.
And that's tough. But
it is.
You're used to drawing it up with George Kittle in mind. And right. George Kittle can make these blocks. The question that I have is why Charlie Warner tried to go so high against J.J. Watt and why he's not putting his you know, his shoulder pad on his hip, getting his head in front and driving him across. That would be the technique that it should have been. He's way too high. This is bad technique on his part. And that play gets blown up because of J.J. Watt getting across the face of Charlie Warner.
Correct. And it's unfortunate because it kills the drive. That's your turnover on downs, Ant.
Yeah.
And it's not what you're looking for. It's really not. Here's a situation, Ant, where you have a read option. You have a pull read. And there it is. There's a good pull. But.
Yeah. He needs to get vertical.
Correct.
If he gets vertical early, and anyone that watched a Green Bay playoff game with Colin Kaepernick knows, if he gets vertical earlier on this, he's going to be able to get up the field and get more positive yards. Right now, be vertical. I mean, he's outrunning a guy that went inside. Get vertical.
If he puts his foot in the ground right here, right foot into the ground right there, and just gets upfield, you know, there's an opportunity to split.
Probably you're talking 15-yard line at least, where he's going to – it's him versus the safety in that area, and maybe even get up and go out.
And it's a first down.
Oh, yeah. And he stretches it too far and almost gets a penalty on Dwelly. They end up picking this one up.
They do. They picked it up, and thank God. Ant, here's one here. It's a big Elijah Mitchell run. There's two key things to watch on this play. There's two key things. The first here is Elijah Mitchell after he gets the ball in his hand. If he heads towards the pylon, execution-wise, this is a touchdown. If he just gets outside and goes outside, and this is a common theme right now with Elijah Mitchell, sometimes he gets a little too vertical at times, but that's okay with me. I would rather him get a little too vertical right now, and we clean that stuff up later as he gets more comfortable in the system. The other is there is an opportunity for a big Trey Lance pull on this read option and possibly a house call as well. Let's take a look.
Yeah, because you'll see Trent Williams and Lakin Thompson pull right there. And there's a pull key for there for Trey Lance.
This is not a give key.
No, this is not a give key. The end came up the field towards the running back. He should keep this ball and run right there behind those guys. He gives, and Elijah Mitchell's speed allows him to get outside. The same exact thing happens, of course, in the next time it's an RPO with Trey Sermon, and Sermon gets around the outside. But it goes to make me think that he's making a little bit of the wrong read. But look at his eyes. It's a read. If it wasn't, he wouldn't be completely focused on him.
I mean, look, dude, if he pulls this right here, you got to kick out, you got to pick up, and you got a nice fat hole there.
Huge hole.
And daylight, just daylight in front of him if he keeps it.
It's him, once again, versus Buda Baker.
Yep. I mean, you want those.
If you're drawing up an offensive play and that is what you get, where you've got one-on-one with the safety, you feel very comfortable about the play you've drawn up.
You're thinking that more times than not, you're thinking touchdown.
And they executed, everyone executed it but one.
Correct.
And that's unfortunate.
And here's the thing right here. This is a situation right now where Elijah Mitchell, learn from this, man. Just go to the sideline. Stretch this bad boy out and then jump cut at the last minute or dive for the pylon.
I honestly believe with his 4.3 speed, I mean, I know there's an angle from Buda Baker. If he would have ran to the sideline, at worst, he gets tackled inside the 2-yard line. At worst.
At worst.
I think he would score.
Agreed with you, Ant. And now, Ant, we have bad execution.
Yep.
Great scheme yet again here in the red zone.
It is a great play call. You can see the lane opening up. Deebo Samuel's going to get it with some space.
Keep in mind, this is first and goal, folks. First and goal, right, Ant? You have a nice bubble screen drawn up here. Deebo is at least, if we're being honest and nice and not guaranteeing and saying this is a guaranteed touchdown, Debo's at least getting to the one.
Yeah.
At least.
I think Debo's getting, you know, at least positive yards on this play. And, you know, he takes his eyes and puts it upfield and makes a mistake. Doesn't catch the football. This is not Trey Lance's fault. This is Deebo Samuel's fault. Catch the ball.
Hit him in the hands.
You got to catch it first. Secure the catch. Then you can become a runner. You see his head right now.
It's already looking
upfield because he knows he needs to locate because that's where he's wanting to run is right up inside there. More than likely, get that defender to jump one way, and you see a blocker coming to try to help as well.
Correct.
It's unfortunate because it's another well-drawn-up play.
Again, good scheme. Yep. It's there. Opportunity there to convert. You just don't get it. You know, they had another quarterback power that they ran the play before this to put themselves now third and one.
Pretty well executed.
Extremely well executed, but third and one now, Ant, from this situation. You know, again, if Deebo makes that catch a little bit earlier, you're talking about second and one, you know, second and goal from the one in which you draw that, you basically could run that quarterback power into the end zone and be A-OK.
Yeah, and they would have. Yeah.
You also had Elijah Mitchell, who had an opportunity to score on this, Trey Lance could have pulled on that same give and scored potentially on this drive. You've now had three opportunities to score points, and you haven't come away with it. You haven't executed exactly the way you should, and now you're in third and one, right? Third and goal from the one. And a lack of execution here again. I know a lot of people here are going to say, what is this play call? Let's get a look at it from that end zone angle so you can see a little bit more of the wash.
Yeah, Charlie Warner is supposed to get off his block and then get to the corner of the end zone. And Kyle Juszczyk's coming out of the backfield. He's going to take on Chandler Jones or make it look like he is, and then he's supposed to get out here in the flat, and he gets absolutely grabbed and tackled. That is a penalty in any world, but they don't call it. And Charlie Warner gets caught up. He's got to get free. He's got to find a way to get, you know, off of this block. But look, they double him. They keep him there. He's just not able to get free and gets, you know, get out in the open.
Correct. Great. Unfortunate. It's great coverage also by, well, Arizona does the things they need to do on this set as well, right? They bottle up Charlie Warner. They make it really hard for him to get his release by putting this little bit of a double team action there in space on him. And then you get in the wash there, a nice pull down and rip down, which again takes away an option and takes away an opportunity there for the card for the Niners. And now you're just in, you know, survive territory. You don't want the extra negative yard and have to settle for three.
No, it's not on Trey at all. Trey does everything he's supposed to do, runs the play action.
Does a good job, too, of finding a way to keep himself alive and get rid of the football.
Oh, definitely.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. And now, Ant, the boot. Oh, my. So, again, a lot of people talk about how, oh, why don't you just dump it over the top to Elijah Mitchell? Option is there. And you'll see from the other angle as well that he has a couple other guys on the interior that he could look for. Really, again, execution-wise, this is what you want. He has the opportunity there for Dwelly for a second. He's got the opportunity there with Kyle Juszczyk for a second. He has this come up here. The only thing maybe you want him to do a little bit differently here is go towards that pylon.
Yeah, a little bit more towards the pylon, but he sees Isaiah Simmons there. That's the only thing, but if he stretches it, he has a better opportunity. I think, once again, Kyle Juszczyk got caught up in the wash that was behind the backfield as he's trying to come across, and that kind of changes a little bit of the coverage as well because that extra linebacker doesn't have to freeze. He's able to bear down on Trey Lance.
Right.
I mean, look where Kyle Juszczyk's right now. If he was running across, that extra linebacker that comes to help him with contact would be on Kyle Juszczyk running in front of the formation or in front of the around the goal line.
It's true.
So that does blow up the play. And one of those things where, you know, Trey is taught to get vertical, get downhill, and try to score. He tries. If he hits one linebacker, he does. He hits two linebackers at the same time, and they're able to stop him. But I mean, really, it's not a bad drawn up play. It's just a little bit bad on the execution.
Execution not fully there. Not fully there. And hey, you know what? See what this is. See what this is here. You got twins on both sides. And
yeah, we got an open Brandon Ayuk.
A wide open Brandon
Ayuk. Right out the logo. And, you know, he doesn't see it. And he decides he's going to scramble. He's going to move and get outside the pocket. And, I mean.
And you guys can see. I mean, here's the thing, right? I don't know if you can see the stick or not, cutback crew. I don't know if you're seeing it or not. You have second and a very, very long way here. First down marker is at the 47 currently on the other side of the logo. It's second down in space. You got second and essentially what is close to 20 yards. Second and 20 is probably about what it is. This completion here to Ayuk gets you almost all of it on second down, and now you're sitting at third and short.
Yeah, I mean, he should have got rid of the ball. He didn't see him. And it's just an execution problem, and it's a young guy trying to learn how to play in Kyle Shanahan's system and know where receivers are going to be against certain coverages.
And you see it here, too, because he's looking the right way, and he does come off to Ayuk, but he comes off late. And you'll see Ayuk flash. Right now he needs to be getting ready to come off and get this thing to Ayuk, who's coming just off of my shoulder there, releasing in. Get rid of the football right now. He sees it late.
He looked the other way.
And he does look the other way. He goes all the way across.
He goes all the way across to Sanu. It's unfortunate. It's a young guy that's learning, and right now he's not able to execute all facets of the game. But, I mean, once again, this is a very nice route concept by Kyle Shanahan, putting it together against the defense and gets a receiver like Brandon Ayuk wide open. That's wide open in the NFL.
It doesn't get more open than that. It really doesn't. Unfortunate. But again, Ant, common theme. coming across the board here in the table.
True.
Seems to be a lot of good scheme here and opportunities to convert here on second and longs, third and shorts, fourth and shorts, first and tens, things of that nature, and they're just not doing it. Ant, I miss Raheem Mostert.
Yeah. I mean, we have some guys that aren't able to execute their blocks out here on the edge with Mike McGlinchey. And, I mean, we have Ross Dwelly that runs up on his legs and helps him fall to the ground.
Which doesn't make this any easier.
No, this play is designed to go outside, and Mike McGlinchey's trying to hold his block, and he gets ran into. If Dwelly gets around the outside right there, it allows Mitchell to get around the outside, and you can see the blocking. You have a guy there at the 20 being sealed, a guy there at the 24-yard line being sealed, and Ross Dwelly was going to get around the outside and seal the last guy, and Elijah Mitchell is going around the outside one-on-one with the safety. And even then, they have an interior offensive lineman right there that's going downfield to make the block on him.
This is a house call.
This is unfortunate. McGlinchey's doing what he's supposed to do. He's got contact, and then he gets kind of nicked right there, and he gets taken down. And once he is, it's an execution problem. You can see it right there. Look at the lanes. Block on 58, done. Block on Simmons there, done. Dwelly's coming around the outside. He should go all the way up to 23. And then you've got, I think, is that Lakin Tomlinson that's barreling down the middle of the field right there. He's going to get Buda Baker. You would have had a huge play from Elijah Mitchell on the outside. It's unfortunate that it's not able to be executed. But once again, a very good play call because Kyle Shanahan took advantage of the offensive numbers versus this defensive front of Arizona.
Correct.
And because Zaven Collins went inside. Yeah. That is the improper read. If Elijah Mitchell gets to the outside, he took a bad angle, and he's getting yelled at by his coach.
And he should be. He should be, because these are the types of things that Mostert doesn't miss.
No, he doesn't. But also, I don't think George Kittle would have ran over
his back. You might have a point, my guy. You might have a point.
Yeah.
You know, that you have a little bit of a situation here where a George Kittle effect took place in this game, and 100%. There was an impact there from the tight end position. PFF had a... What is that? I think it was Dwelly graded at a 46, I think you told me, and Charlie Warner at a 50.
Right.
We watched the whole All 22 film, and if you want more breakdown like this, more in-depth breakdown just like this, head on over to Patreon, because we do both halves, first half and second half, of this game against the Cardinals. Basically 3 hours worth of breakdown in every play, every snap, looking at everything. But we saw this consistently. Charlie Warner and Ross Dwelly not executing at a high level, making mistakes. A couple times, Dwelly is the guy getting blown to the backfield and causing guys who are pulling around in space to get chipped up and nicked up, missing blocks, not being able to crash down on guys, certain guys in space, and it just leads to them not being able to execute. These were just the fourth down drives, the drives that ended in turnover on downs. This isn't, this doesn't even go into some of the holdings and some of the misreads, right? The missed throws downfield and other things like that. There were a lot of opportunities for the 49ers to execute. Kyle Shanahan gave them a lot of chances. A lot of chances. And we just didn't hit on anywhere near enough of the plays that we needed to hit on to have success.
Yeah, and if you want to get on Kyle Shanahan about something, it's not play calling, because he's calling the plays the right way. If you want to get on him about the fact that maybe his position coaches need to coach up their players better, or put them in, let Kyle Shanahan know exactly where those position players are.
What positions does Kyle need to put them in for them to have success?
Maybe have more value on that. I think that they believe that Ross Dwelly, I mean, he's done it in the past, could make these plays. I think they thought Charlie Warner could make these plays, and they didn't execute in this game. And whether that is, there's a lot of plays in this game that we didn't show where Charlie Warner just doesn't block the right guy. He runs right by him and goes somewhere else and leaves a guy uncovered to be able to make a play. And we didn't highlight those in this, but we highlight them in the All 22 over on Patreon. So there are situations that you just, as a coach, you have to try to go back in the film and break these down. But I think Charlie Warner was put in situations he wasn't prepared for, because he doesn't normally play in these sets. He doesn't normally play on these downs. Those are usually when George Kittle does, and he didn't execute. And we're talking about a guy that was struggling with route concepts during minicamp. So this guy is behind, and that's why they brought in Mykole Pruitt, and they were taking a look at a lot of different tight ends. And he showed out very well in training camp, and he was executing, but he didn't execute in this game. So I think you have to have some sort of reluctance with him in the future, but hopefully he can fix it and figure it out. But
If
Kyle Shanahan, I mean, he's going to go to his position coaches and talk to all of them. That's what you do. But they've got to figure out what they need to do. And if that is Charlie Warner can't be that guy, be able to execute those plays, and you have to find another person that can, whether that's moving Kyle Juszczyk there for certain situations, or you know, going with an extra offensive lineman. Whatever it is, they got to find a way, because you still want to be able to execute your plays, but you got to make sure that your personnel's in a proper position to be successful.
The big butt, man. It really is. It truly is. It's hard. You know, when you're missing a guy like Kittle.
Oh, it's huge.
It's a big drop-off. It's a huge drop-off. And you understand now why the Niners haven't been going to a lot of three tight end sets this year. There haven't been a lot of those types of opportunities. Charlie Warner's just not there yet. He's not ready to step up and fill that role. You know, what they did, what it seemed like a lot was Ross Dwelly played in a very similar fashion to how he normally plays. They had him rolling in his typical role, unless it was a one tight end set, and then obviously he was filling in those roles for George Kittle. But when they went two tight end sets, or they went jumbo packages with three tight ends, Warner hopped into that Kittle-esque role, that Kittle-esque spot. Juszczyk would kind of roll into what Charlie Warner's spot typically would be, and Dwelly stayed put where he normally was. And Warner, in a lot of those cases, didn't execute the way you wanted to. It's not the same level of execution. Obviously, that's going to be the case. But, man, if you want to be upset, like you said, if you want to be upset with Kyle Wright about maybe putting Warner in those positions, maybe you can be.
Yeah.
But he's putting him in those positions for a reason, right? We don't know what they saw at practice. You don't know what they were getting and what feedback he was getting from his position coach. Position coach telling him, hey, Charlie Warner can get those things done. We can do those things. Maybe we don't want to rely on, like, do it a bunch, but crucial downs, distances, he'll get it done. We can trust this guy. Maybe that was a feedback.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what the adjustments are. If they make adjustments off of this, or if they just, you know, chalk it up to, you know what, J.J. Watt's a heck of a player.
That too.
And he was able to handle business on this. You know, whatever those things are, they're going to have to get into it. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Sometimes J.J. Watt just made himself one heck of a play. And sometimes Charlie Warner, you know, didn't do what he was supposed to do. But the ones that can't be forgiven or forgotten are the ones that he just completely whiffs and goes to the wrong guy.
Those are bad.
You know, when these guys are not getting to the right guys in space, you really do understand the importance of George Kittle in this offense and how much him and Kyle Juszczyk are just relied upon to make great plays for this running game. And then they end up opening it up for the passing game, because then the running game really gets going with the play action, all that. So if you were wondering why the 49ers didn't run the football to the level that they normally do, it's because they were missing George Kittle and they weren't able to do all the things that they want to do. So they've got to figure out a way to maneuver and figure this thing out. I think they can. They got an extra week, you know, for the coaches to scheme it up and let it go. But Kyle Shanahan, once again, had a very good game play calling. I wouldn't say it was perfect, but I thought that he did a very good job. And then I think D'Amico Ryans has been knocking it out of the park now for a few weeks.
It feels like he's been knocking it out of the park for pretty much every game except for the last 2 minutes of the Detroit Lions game. Other than that, it's been solid from D'Amico Ryans. And week one was great for Kyle. Week two had its struggles and its moments. Yeah. But again, he dialed up a lot of good stuff that, again, guys, a lot of dropped balls in that week two game that cost 49ers drives early and set them into negative game scripts where they were basically trying to fight through. You know, basically being in second and longs, you know, second and 12s, third and 13s, and things of that nature, which you just not, it's not hard. It's hard to have success offensively when you're in that much of a negative yard situation that early in a drive. Look, the 49ers are going to be fine. I have complete faith that this team is going to get it cleaned up. The mistakes have not been the same mistake. The things I've been seeing on film in terms of execution hasn't been the same every week. It's different guys messing up in a different way. And so they're slowly getting there. They're slowly building a little bit towards being a better football team offensively and being more cohesive and gelling and being fluid, which is what you want to see. Because the big drive that ends in the Debo sweep, I mean, that drive start to finish is phenomenal. It's fantastic. And they even shoot themselves in the foot a couple of times. But every time they do on that drive, they execute and create key moments. First and 20, big play on first down, big chunk play to get yards back, put you into a manageable, right? Second and medium now, good positive gain for 4 or 5 yards, third and short, execute on third and short, boom, drive keeps going. And they just kept doing that over and over and over again on that drive. They have those opportunities. They just need to be more consistent now about the execution, because Kyle's not calling bad stuff that teams are just blowing up. Kyle's calling things that should work. The opportunity for a big, huge play, not a minimal gain,
right,
not a little game, a huge play potential is there, and one or two guys isn't doing their part, right? They're not footing their portion of the bill.
And I think one thing that I saw from this game that is different from some of the others is there would usually be, you know, times during the game when you're watching and you're like, man, no one was open. Kyle, no one was open, man. Like, I thought you were going to scheme this one up. It seemed like in almost every single play, there was somebody open.
At least one.
At least one guy. And so I think that in that regard, it's like, you know what? No, Kyle Shanahan did a pretty good job of putting this thing together. And the 49ers just need to execute. And some of that could be that, you know, they were going against some simple looks. I mean, they were running a lot of cover three. Occasionally, they would go to the two high set, you know, and run quarters and that kind of thing. But really, for the most part, that's what he saw. Barely got any man coverage. But they were making it easy for Trey Lance to know what coverage was coming. They weren't disguising anything. The only thing they did disguise was a couple of blitzes sometimes when people bailed out. But we have all that, you know, breakdown that we got into pretty deep. But yeah, it was overall the game was frustrating at times. It's kind of like what I said about what Bill Walsh would say about Steve Young. Is that's what you're going to get from Trey Lance right now. He's a frustrating guy. For every mistake where you're like, man, you could have got that ball out, there's one that you're like, oh my gosh, how did he do that? And right now it's finding a balancing act of the over-the-top great plays that he makes compared to the ones where you're like, man, you got to do that. But I understand because you're a kid and you're still learning this offense and it's a very complex offense. So I'm very optimistic about his potential. But in the same regard, I'm not going to be mad at Kyle Shanahan for scheming up a very good game plan that just wasn't executed to the level that he expects from his football team. And if they're not going to be able to execute the plays that he's calling, you're right, they're not going to win very many football games. And then it comes down to the question, is it coaching? You know, the coaching staff that he has put together, is it their fault? Is it personnel that John Lynch hasn't got guys that can get it done? I think we know that they can because they did it in 2019. This is a little bit of a different football team, but I think overall what it comes down to is the players just got to execute a little bit better.
Still too early for me to be pointing the finger at the players in terms of these guys just can't get it done, right? You just don't have the personnel groupings to get it done. You know, you're like I said, you're still one play away. You're one play away from turning your fortunes. And also some help from the officials at times would also benefit the 49ers. If they could get one holding call called for them on
defense,
they're
not going to get one.
They're never going to get one, dude. I'm convinced that the officials have decided the 49ers defense is too good and there's no need to call anything because there's one where Fred Warner is literally being grabbed from about 5 yards downfield. The guy is basically holding on to him as Fred Warner drags him into the pile to make the tackle for about a yard and a half gain. How Fred makes the play, I don't know. How the official, the white hat, and the back judge back there staring at the line, watching what's happening, how you miss that is beyond me. But Fred Warner, you keep doing incredible stuff like that, my guy. Love you for that. That's why you're so special. That's why you're one of the best guys. Best middle linebackers in all football, one of the best players in all of football. Not many guys who could do something like that, drag a guy while being held in for a tackle for almost a tackle for loss. It was darn near close to being a tackle for loss. But look, 49ers, they're not that far off. They can get this turned around. They can get this fixed. I think this shows it. I think this proves it. I think a lot of the stuff that we showed just now on these fourth down situations, these drives that ended up in turnovers on downs, are just a guy or two away from being executed properly, or one guy just making a different read to being big plays, huge plays, scoring plays for the 49ers. And scoring plays is beneficial for the defense as well, which is playing at an elite level.
Yeah, they really are. You know, I mean, the fact that they hold Arizona to 17 points, anytime you do that, you should win a football game. I mean, anytime you hold someone to that point level, you should win. The Jim Harbaugh days, that was a winning, you know, it was a winning game. It should be a winning game for Kyle Shanahan's offense. But Kyle Shanahan's offense didn't get it done. And I think that, you know, there could be the calls that it was the play calling, but I think we've illustrated here that it wasn't the play calling. It was the execution of said play calling. And now either the players need to figure it out and execute at a better level, or Kyle Shanahan's got to come up with something to help those players execute at a higher level.
And he's definitely doing that. You know, he's going back, looking at the film, going back to the drawing board and being like, okay, what do I need to do? How can I get these guys into better positions? How can I provide them help? Or not put them in, run something similar, but maybe not put that guy in that position next time.
Well, he 100% already did it during the game.
That's, you
know, during
true.
The game, they were chipping on Chandler Jones eventually in the fourth quarter with Kyle Juszczyk, helping Mike McGlinchey out a little bit on the outside, because when it's a straight pass situation like that, and those guys, Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, know that you're going to be throwing the football, they're going to come at you, and they're going to get at you quick, and you're going to have to give some guys help. Even Trent Williams had his struggles a little bit in this game, so... you know, it's one of those things where you get in situations and you're in bad situations because of it. So hopefully the 49ers get this figured out. I think Kyle Shanahan will. And there's plenty of meetings and stuff that he can do with his coaches. But some of it, too, sometimes separation, getting away from it a little bit helps clear your mind. So So I think the bye came at a good time for the 49ers. Normally, you want it closer to midway through the season so you can recover. But I think that this is more a mental thing that they need to recover from, get themselves back on track and get out there and execute so that way they can go beat the Colts.
I agree with you, man. I agree with you 100%. Cutback crew, faithful, let us know what you think. Are we still wrong? It's still on Kyle. What in the film are we not seeing that you're seeing? Let us know in the comment section down below. Or are you feeling a little bit better? And you know what? Maybe Kyle's not doing as bad of a job. You know what? Maybe we're just not executing at key times. And you know what? Maybe we can get that fixed. And it's going to be A-okay. Want to hear about all of it down there in the comment section. And while you're down there commenting away, don't forget to like. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell as well. That way you don't miss out on any of this great content. You don't want to miss out on any of the things we got coming this week. You don't want to miss out on all of the prep work going in next week leading up to that Week 7 game. Sunday Night Football against the Colts. Exciting times. 49ers have the chance to get back on track, get themselves to 500 and moving in the right direction.
Yep, that's what we need. We need that big victory in Sunday Night Football against the Colts. It'll be the return of DeForest Buckner. Will Mike McGlinchey, Daniel Brunskill and this offensive line be able to handle Buckner? And how will the 49ers offense look? How will it be constituted? Will it be Trey Lance behind center? Will it be Jimmy Garoppolo behind center? Or will it be a combination of both? We don't know yet. Next week's going to be an exciting week. I'm looking forward to getting all into it.
Definitely am. Cutback crew, faithful. Get pumped. Get excited. It is a bye week. You get it. You got the rest of this week to recover. You got Sunday to just kind of relax a little bit and watch other teams struggle and have other teams worrying about what their teams are doing while we get healthy, we get our reinforcements, and we get back on the grind to take it to those Indianapolis Colts and make sure that DeForest Buckner's welcome home party isn't a welcome home party. It's a, oh my God, I wish I hadn't left. I should have fought harder to take less money to stay. But hey, Defo, we still love you. Faithful's always going to love you. And until the next one, Cutback Crew and the Faithful, stay safe.
Remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.